You're listening to the Ryan Wayne Salon Podcast featuring Joseph Ryan and Donna Lee. Even just sitting there listening to this podcast, you look fabulous. Hey, everybody. Welcome back, you lovely, gorgeous creatures. Thank you for listening to the Ryan Wayne Salon Podcast.
Thank you for being my co-host, Donna Lee.
Thank you for being the best host ever.
Thank you for calling me gorgeous.
Ah, there we go.
Finally. I mean, he was waiting for that compliment. That's He's right. Like, I am not talking until she tells me how gorgeous I am.
Gorgeous.
You see where I get it? I tell you, I am a lot more like my father than I realize.
Right? Oh my gosh. We have to introduce Leon and Diane.
Hi, Leon. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hello, everybody.
I forgot Diane is your name. She just goes by mom.
Mom.
Everybody at the salon calls her mom, even the clients. They're like, how's mom? I'm like, oh, she's doing great. But she really is. She's the salon mother. And It's so funny because clients will come in and ask, hey, is your mom here today? Because I have a stain that I can't get out and I need to talk to her and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
You know, so I started my social media channel with zero followers and now it's like 250,000. I want her, but she needs a production team because she's just not going to do it herself. But I want her to do her own page because she would blow up with all the tips and tricks that she knows on you snag a shirt, how you fix it, you have a stain, how you get it out, recipes. Because, you know, Cindy.
You've got an illness. I got a pill.
Exactly. She has witchcraft, everything. She is a voodoo doctor. You know the horrible story of her removing a mole off my leg at home?
No.
Yes.
What happened?
I was 7 years old. I will never forget. It was the summer of hell.
Oh, no.
I remember I was sleeping and I just thought, oh, ow, ow, ow. And I'm sleeping and it's a terrible dream. Something's stabbing me and I don't wake up fully. And then I wake up and I realize that she is in there with a needle stabbing around the circumference of this large mole on my leg because she said my brother, I think John had the same one.
Stephen
had the same one. And she took him to a doctor and saw how they removed it. So she's like, oh, I can do this. By the time number nine was here, it's okay. I have nine other children. If he dies, it's fine.
He bleeds out.
It's yeah. Okay. She was literally doing surgery every day on my leg to remove this mole.
Did it go away?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
Well, see, there's this mole that if a child is born with it, it becomes cancerous about the time they hit puberty.
Oh.
And we took our son, Stephen, to the doctor, and he says, yeah, we can remove it, but it'll go into the bloodstream. And when it goes into the bloodstream, then it can spread, and you can have cancer all over. So it's a bad thing.
Holy moly.
And so
literally,
I did not remove Stephen's. He did it to himself.
Really?
Yes, he did.
How old was Stephen when this happened?
How old was he? He was about 9 or 10.
Oh my goodness.
When he did it to himself, he heard what the doctor said.
Wow.
He heard what the doctor said and he was not going to have
that.
He wasn't
having that.
Uh-oh. He was limping, crazy. Walking home, limping and limping. What's wrong with you? Finally I looked and he'd put the medication on that mole and it was doing its job. It was coming out and everything, but it was very painful for him.
Oh yeah, so she decided that summer that's what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. I don't want to ever have one of my children have cancer that's not necessary.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it turned out fine. Now I have like a little shiny plastic saran wrap looking scar. It's a very interesting scar. And people are always curious what it's from. I'm like, oh, let me tell you. My mother is a doctor. Now, Dad, you know Mom would always do the test where she'd make you hold your arm out. She maintains that she could tell if you were lying or your body would tell you if you were sick or what you needed. You'd hold your arm straight out.
Kinesiology.
And then she'd be like, is your name Joseph? And if your arm stayed up when she pushed on it, then that was a yes. It was like her own lie detector test. And I'm like, I don't believe in this.
This is
witchcraft. And she would ask my arm, did Joseph take candy out of the cabinet?
Oh my goodness. That's so funny.
So crazy. But you know, she is, it usually was true.
She's a good mom.
I'm just going to say. So what was it like, Dad? Because I know Mom came from a big family and so did you. How many siblings did you have?
There's seven of us and nine in her family.
Wow.
Seven of you and nine in her family. But you had 13 births, right?
15.
Oh, 15. But there's a higher mortality rate.
15 live births my mother had.
Wow.
That's a lot of births.
The doctor dropped one and killed it.
Dropped one?
Uh-huh.
Getting it out of the car. She was born on the way to the hospital.
Born on the way. The hospital was about 40 or 50 miles away. And it was born in the car and the doctor dropped it. Getting it out of the car.
Oh, my gosh.
And it had twins that were born premature. They lived 2 or 3 days. My mother did before they succumbed. They didn't have the
technology
they have now.
Right.
Galene burned.
Galene, she had one at 2.5 that was killed in a house fire.
Holy moly.
We had a high mortality rate, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad. My goodness. Glad you were a survivor because, you know, I'm happy to be here. And then, Mom, one of nine, you're the second oldest, correct?
That's correct. I had an older sister.
And you were basically the house mom, too.
Yes. Sergeant Snorkel Mom. I don't know.
Sergeant
Snorkel. That's what her kids affectionately called her whole life was Sergeant Snorkel.
I mean, with 10 children, you had to run a tight ship. Otherwise, it would be chaos. So right? I totally get it.
Try to keep a schedule. It was hard when Dad would come home because it was all fun and
Dad's
party
home.
And
ice cream
and eat and drink pop.
Oh, yeah. All the bad stuff. That's why we were always so excited to see you come.
You won't like that. Because when your kids come to see me, they always get to cheat with Grandpa.
I know. I'm well aware.
That's right.
I'm well aware and quite afraid. So when you guys got married, did you guys both want a huge family?
Or I just wanted one.
Just one?
One child.
Maybe two, but probably just one.
Did y'all talk about this before you got married?
We did. I told my wife before we got married. In fact, before we had our first date, I said, my father's name was John Alonzo Nybar, and I determined young that my firstborn son would be named after him. And so every girl I ever dated, I would tell them, you know, this relationship could get serious. It could, you know, we could fall in love and get married. I just want you to know the first child's going to be a boy, and it's going to be named John Alonzo Nybarger. And if that's a problem, no use wasting any more time.
Okay. Oh,
my goodness.
And Diane thought I was crazy when I did it.
I thought I could
change
his mind.
She tried to back out on the
We night. All do, girl.
I had bets going. I had probably about $3,000 worth of bets because everybody on both sides of my family had girls first.
Oh.
So mine's going to be a boy. And so I bet if everybody would have paid off back then, medicine, the doctor had a $300 flat fee to deliver a baby. He was one of the best doctors in Spokane, Washington.
Wow.
And that cost more than the hospital. That cost more than the hospital bill.
Really?
So you can see how medicine is.
Right?
So expensive now.
Ask Joseph how he's having his babies.
Oh, it's six figures. There's a reason I'm not doing a new outfit of every day. Okay.
Right? No. Oh, my gosh.
So you wanted one. Mom, did you want more than one?
I said I was going to have seven boys.
Seven boys. So you both manifested what you wanted. You wanted one son and you wanted seven sons. No daughters?
I figured, you know, whatever, but I knew I was going to have seven boys.
She's a devout Mormon. I'm more of my relationship with my maker is my business.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with organized religions of any kind. Always have. Diane is a very devout Mormon. Mm-hmm. She had a blessing when she was young. And in that blessing, she was told she would have a part in building a nation and would have seven sons. And so,
Well, I think you did.
Wow.
Holy
sure
crap.
Did.
Now, that's where the witchcraft comes in.
Right? Wow.
That's amazing. So, after you guys got married, and then sure enough, your first child was John Alonzo Nybarger II.
That's correct. It was a boy.
You know, everything I've read about being successful is manifestation to the point of delusion. And so you were like very adamant and told
you're
sperm.
You're telling me I'm delusional.
Well, no, you made the delusion come true. That's how you do it. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. I mean, I've always said, I'm going to have this. I'm going to do that. I will. And I don't ever question it. Like, I hope. I always just say it. And everything that I've wanted has thankfully kind of come to fruition. So how did it happen that you ended up having another child whenever he was?
Like I told you, what I fell in love with him about was his relationship with his little niece, Teresa, and his other nieces and nephews. And when he got John, oh my gosh, he'd swim with him in the tub. He'd do everything with him. He was so cute with him. And when he got about 18 months old, he says, another one.
Maybe one more.
Maybe one more.
You like the baby stage.
And
about every 18 to 24 months, it was one more.
He just kept saying one more. It was like potato chips, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like potato chips.
What is it, Pringles? Once you pop, you can't stop.
Oh. Yeah, whatever that is. But,
that's fine.
But anyway, he kept saying he wanted one more. And even towards the end, you know, he was saying, you know, one more. But eventually you got to stop.
Yeah, your body will tell you.
We started to adopt a black child, a very good friend who's older than I was at the time. I was probably in my late 40s, maybe early 50s. And my friend married a 18-year-old cheerleader. And I would tease him like, you know, it's a trophy wife. There's a reason. You're rich. There's a reason she married you.
Mm-hmm.
And she got pregnant. And he was so proud that he was still able to do this at his age. And when the child was born, it was obvious he wasn't the father.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And so she had had an affair with a, I don't remember, tennis pro or someone. And so he wanted to keep the wife, but he didn't want the child. He said, I have to keep the child to keep the wife, but I'm going to make life as miserable as I can for that child.
Oh, gosh, horrible.
And I said, it has nothing to do with the child. If you want to make life miserable, go make it miserable for yourself and her. Leave the child out of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And finally, they conceded they'd be better off if they adopted the child out. And so Diana and I said, we'll take it. We had some very good friends in church at the time who had adopted
three
black children. And they said, it's a totally different culture at that particular time. This was 25, 30 years ago. And finally, I didn't realize at the time, but they had fallen in love with the baby and they were trying to talk us into not adopting it and letting them. Anyway, over time, it just became obvious that's really their baby.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was a kind of a heartbreaking moment because we wanted to baby, but we decided the child would be better off. They were such good people, and the child was better off. Had a great life. The dentist now in Houston.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so sweet.
Well, I'm glad that he did have a good life. That's kind of a scary thought to think that your father, so to speak, is going to torture
you. The marriage between them two lasted about another 3 or 4 weeks, and they separated. Yeah.
I don't think there was a good foundation in that relationship.
Right.
So you guys have 10 children now. And 20 with the spouses. So,
well, 20 plus I tack on a few of the ones that were separated from. I don't throw away children. So, you know, Deanna's still in the picture and a few of the others, you know.
Oh, some of the divorced.
They're still our kids. Gotcha.
They're still our kids.
That's why.
You love them.
My daughter would come home mad at me because I still am friendly with her ex-husband. I commented, hey, you brought him home to me. I didn't bring him to you. You had a child with him. He's your partner for life and mine too, because once your child's grown up, you're going to have grandchildren. And so whether you like it or not, you might as well get over the immature arguments and decide your partners in raising that child and making sure that child has a good life. Because as I would tell my kids when they got married, when you get married, it's not a 50-50 compromise. It's 100% commitment. If both of you feel that way, then you consider the other person more important than you. You'll probably get along. But when a child comes along, that child is more important than both of you put together. Mm-hmm. So you do what you have to do to make a good life for that child. If you can't get along with your spouse, that's too bad, because families are better together. But if sometimes you just have to separate, but you still should put the child first.
Oh, I agree with outlook.
That. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I'm glad to be one of the original, you know, like the vampire show. There's the originals. I feel like it's special, you know. The other ones are just like by marriage, you know. They're still important, but we're the originals.
Is that why you're paying that special effects halo around your head all the time?
Exactly. I had my horns removed and had the halo added.
That's okay. Yeah. I like
hide
it.
Your tail pretty good, too.
I know. I was like, you know, the bigger the hair, the easier to hide the horns. So that's why I have to have so much volume.
Or hold up the halo.
Exactly.
I actually had a friend ask me if they could see my horns and my tail.
What?
Oh. Was it one of the ladies from Leon's past?
No.
Oh.
What the heck? That's such a
because
weird...
Most Protestants believe the Mormon religion is a cult, and they're spawn of the devil among a certain segment.
So she said that? She asked you that straight out?
She asked me straight out.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really weird.
What did you say?
As you can see, I have no horns and no tail, and that is not real. I don't know where you got that from.
It was always interesting. I have a very good friend who, when we would get together with them, their Church of Christ and his wife, there is no way to heaven outside the Church of Christ if you're not there. And my wife is a Mormon. There is no other name on the door to heaven but Mormonism. Well, nobody ever made that sale to Bill or I, so we would just listen to our wives argue and, you know, drink our tea away from them. I just known too many good people from every Islam to Hindu. Hindus are some of the best people I've ever met in my life. You have a hard time convincing me that because I call myself something different than they call themselves, that I have a inroad.
Right.
That reminds me of the South Park episode when they all die and then they're waiting in the waiting room to see who's going to heaven. And they're like, like, okay, I was a devout Protestant. I was a Catholic. I was this. And then the guy gets up and he's like, no, you're all wrong. The correct answer was Mormon. South Park's pretty inappropriate, but right? It was very That's funny. Well, I think
a Mormon writer in it.
Yeah, I think that the Mormon church, you know, I grew up Mormon, obviously, was a good way to grow up. I mean, taught you some family important values. Yeah, that I think, you know, I'm not completely convinced that it's 100% correct, but I do think that it's a great way to grow up. Well, that's very interesting. I'm so glad that you guys were able to work through your complete manifestations and make each other happy in the process, because that's a pretty amazing story. Every time I tell somebody I'm the ninth of 10 children, they about fall out of their seat. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual, and you guys have been together for 56 years. It's amazing. So thank you for sharing your personal stories. I think it's awesome, and I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you for having us, Joseph.
You're welcome. Okay, bye, Donnelly. I'll see you soon. I love you all. Make sure you like, follow, share, and enjoy your hair.
Thank you for listening to the Ryan Wayne Salon Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Clapper. We'll see you next week.